across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
On this Thursday, January 11th, 2024, 7:06, nice to have you along on Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota across the Civic Media Radio Network. A reminder, you can reach us here at 844-967-2789. You can call or text that number, 844-967-2789. Send us a note, radio at upnorthnewswi.com, or put a comment on the Up North News Facebook page or the Civic Media Facebook page, where you can watch us as a live video feed as well. And if you were watching that, you'd see that Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot is standing by. And what are you in Wausau proper, or is it the greater Wausau area?
I'm in Wausau proper.
Here's a proper Brittany Merlot from Wausau, who, for folks watching on the video feed, also want to know, why does Luke describe himself on screen as Ice Road Trucker? It's apparently that kind of a day on the roads across much of Wisconsin, Brittany.
Okay, yes, it is. I mean, we got that light, fluffy snow out there. So I've been getting reports. It's slippery, especially on the county roads, town roads. Is that Luke? Did you drive on those?
Look at Luke and Kristen. They're both like nodding very enthusiastically, going, preach.
Yes. Very early this morning, I drove through downtown Sun Prairie. You know, it wasn't too bad, but I hit County Road N, and that was slick. Typically a 55 mile an hour, and I was going probably only 35. It was not well plowed, so I was making sure every curve that I was hitting that I was going nice and slow. And most of I-94, the semis, it is not fun to pass.
Where's the traffic helicopter here?
Yeah, right. Yeah,
I
there
feel
you
like
go.
We're getting
you
a
can do it, Pat. Careful, don't hurt yourself though.
Yeah, you kind of look like you belong in a zoo when you do that.
You make sound effects however you can, Kristen. Yeah.
I will say the sound effect was on point though.
Thank you, Brittany. Please continue. We'll mute the others here. Go right ahead.
All right. Sounds good. Yeah. So temperatures right now are below freezing. We did get a lighter, fluffier snow. And when that compacts, it turns into ice on the roads. Please be careful out there. And of course, you know, they're treating the bigger roads first. So the town roads, the county roads, they're going to stay slick even longer. So here we go throughout our day today. The snow is still falling towards Lake Michigan into Milwaukee, Green Bay area. That will kick on out of here within the next 2 hours. So after that, we'll be stuck in the calm before the storm. One of those, once again, will be mostly cloudy. We could see a few pockets of sunshine throughout the afternoon, but by 3 o'clock, we start to really get overcast, cloudy. We'll go to bed first. And then the snow is going to start around 3 a.m. So we're not going to see it starting unless you're a night owl or something like that, or early morning, you're going to start to see a little bit. So we are looking at a winter storm watch in effect that will likely turn to winter storm warning by this afternoon. They wait until it's closer to make it a warning there. So the winter storm watch right now is from 6 a.m. Friday through noon on Saturday for 6 inches or more. I am forecasting, just everybody expect a good widespread 5 to 8 once again. This even includes Wausau. We could finally get some. We missed out on the last one. Eau Claire as well. You could see some of that. Now, the heaviest totals, those are still to be determined. Of course, that's moving around. But we could see double-digit totals once again. That could be into southern Wisconsin, Madison, possibly into Waukesha as well, Fox Valley, northern Illinois areas. So we're going to keep track of that, where the heaviest is going to be hitting. But the heaviest snow rates, and it's going to be coming down the heaviest, will be from 6 a.m. tomorrow through 6 p.m. And those winds, again, whipping up to 40 miles per hour. This one's going to be stronger than the last storm. It's actually as strong as the storm that hit the Edmund Fitzgerald. When that sank back then, 1975, I think it was, that's how strong of a storm this one is going to be.
Okay.
So vicious winds, power outages possible. Plan for that. Treacherous travel.
Okay, so Luke is, I don't look in the background there. I think I see the official Civic Media sleeping bag back behind the chair there. So
I'll bring it with me just in case for tomorrow. But, I mean, I'll be here by 6, so I'll be in the worst of it
but
while
you,
we're
didn't you hear her
together.
Say about 3 a.m. it might get started? So
We are essential workers. I have to make sure that I'm in this chair so I can get all of this important information out to the people of Wisconsin.
And he'll have the best road reports then.
Yeah.
Drive slow.
Yeah, exactly.
Very slow.
I did. I was very cautious. I made sure there was, I was probably the smallest car that was going the speed that I was going, though. There was a lot of trucks that weren't too fond that I was going into the left lane to, you know, pass the semis, but I was very methodical about it. I was not aggressive. I was not driving too fast. I made sure that I got here to work on time, and that was the important part.
Safety first.
Yes. You know what? Even if you're late, though, safety first.
Yes, right.
Sorry.
And Brittany, the cold air on the backside of this is going to be rather noticeable, isn't it?
Oh my goodness, we're going to get slapped hard with this cold air. Mm-hmm. That's the best way to describe it. We're not ready for it. We haven't felt it in a long time. It's not going to feel good at all. I'm talking by Sunday, high temperatures, even into Madison. Struggling to get above zero, barely. We may not.
For those of us who were complaining last week about El Nino and how we had no snow, it was so warm this winter. You're welcome.
Prepare to get slapped. Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Oh, you got away with the words. Last week we were getting smacked with something. Now we're getting slapped with something. Mother Nature is downright abusive at times. Thank you.
She is.
A great day. We'll chat tomorrow.
Sounds good.
All right. Continuing our conversation here with Kristen Lyerly and Luke Mathers, and I mentioned that yesterday, I went through all of the national holidays for today: International Thank You Day, Hot Toddy Day, Milk Day, kind of a hug day situation going on here. Yesterday, we missed it, so I just want to wish a belated Happy Houseplant Appreciation Day, Bittersweet Chocolate Day, Cut Your Energy Cost Day, Oysters Rockefeller Day, Save the Eagles Day, the animal, not the band, and take the Stairs Day as well.
Every day should be Take the Stairs Day.
It should be.
If you can.
Mm-hmm. Did I tell that story about when we had to say our goodbyes at the end of our 2 weeks together?
Can we have a little special music for when Pat says, did I tell that story?
All right, I'll try to come up with something.
I love how we're building the airplane even as we fly it over here. But we're saying our goodbyes at the airport in Harlingen, Texas. And to get to the gates, it's a lot like the Dane County Airport. You've got to go up kind of a short escalator ride, you know, to get up to the boarding level. And he was the 4-year-old was so jazzed to go up the escalator. We come around the corner and the escalator's out of order. It's ripped apart. It's got the barricade in front of it and everything. There's a staircase right there. Very short staircase. The meltdown was epic that he could not get on that escalator. And you know, we're trying to go because we're the ones who are leaving at the airport. They were staying behind for an extra day or so, or vice versa. And we thought we were going to get all weepy and everything. But that 4-year-old temper tantrum was just like, okay, kid. I just turned to my daughter like, bye.
And we're off.
We did this with you. Now you get to do it with him. So congratulations.
Yeah, that's one of those things about parenting. Like you think it's going to be one thing and then it turns into another thing. And all mm-hmm. you can do is just roll with it.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Emily Cephos is here coming up at the bottom of the hour, we have kind of borrowed a moniker, a label from Sarah Godlewski.
Yeah, we did. And she was pleased to let us borrow it.
And that's what I was getting at is when people hear us talk about Women Win Wisconsin, that was the group and then the political action committee that she was putting together. But, you know, then a new opportunity came along. Sarah Godlewski is now our Secretary of State here in Wisconsin. So she's not as busy on, say, the political side. But Kristen, it seems like you and some other fabulous women around Wisconsin are ready to take up that banner and keep running with it.
Well, when you and I were tossing this idea around a few months ago, it just seemed logical to talk with Sarah about all the efforts that she had put into promoting women, mentoring women who wanted to run for office. We know that now we have 41% women in the state legislature, which is a record number. Only once before have we had this many women in the state legislature. But we also know that more than 41% of Wisconsinites are women. So we've got a long way to go here. And it's harder for women to run. We have a number of different barriers that we have to overcome. You know, when women look at leaders, they don't see themselves there. It's harder for us to raise money. It's harder for us in the context of our lives to find the time and the will to do this. So that's why we wanted to choose these leaders, to promote these leaders, to give them a chance to talk about why they wanted to run for office and what they will do once they're in that situation. And I'm really excited about what we're going to be doing here, Pat. I think this is groundbreaking.
Mm-hmm. There's something related coming out of the Twin Cities.
So glad you're talking about this.
The St. Paul City Council is now made up of 7 women. 6 of whom are women of color, I believe. And there was a soundbite. If I wish I'd have known we were going to be talking about this, but one of them had this amazing comment about how now, for the first time, when there are no white men on the council, suddenly to them, representation matters. And the crowd went wild.
Yeah, this is going to be great. I can't wait to see what they do. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to see what they prioritize. I'm actually going to St. Paul today on my way to work in Minnesota for the weekend. And I'm really excited to get my friend's take, who live in St. Paul, about where they think things are headed and what the future looks like.
The other thing of note here about these 7 women is that all of them are younger than 40.
Yeah.
So again, it's something I've said before that, you know, this first wave of Gen Z is really riding to the rescue in so many ways, where previous generations were a bit more, shall we say, apathetic about things. So I'm glad that you're encouraging this and looking forward to talking to Emily in a couple of minutes here. Here's a quick look at sports as we come up on 7:18. The Bucks are hosting the Boston Celtics tonight at 6:30, and you can catch Bucks basketball on several Civic Media stations, including News from the Center and Richland Center, Oshkosh Air Support, Lake Erin Amory, WRJN in Racine, and 98Q Country in Park Falls. The Badger men's basketball team needed to come from behind, but then beat Ohio State last night, 71-60. They, I believe, are the last undefeated team in the Big Ten at 4-0 right now. Meanwhile, the Marquette men's basketball team fell to Butler last night at the Fiserv Forum, 69-62. So a team that was once ranked number 7, now 11, probably going to tumble quite a bit in the next rankings. The Badger women lost at home to Northwestern last night, 74-69. We'll unpack more of the news coming up in just a bit. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Thursday morning, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. Back in a bit.
Thank you for the bangles, darling.
Do you feel my heart beating?
We play that today because of whose birthday here? Vicki Peterson, lead guitarist for the Bangles, turns 66 years old today. Let's talk about voting for a moment, because there are a few different fronts, a few different news stories to talk about. One is disarray amongst Wisconsin Republicans about a proposal that would allow for something called Final Five voting and ranked choice voting. And again, Republicans can't agree one way or another on that. But then at the national level, you still have people trying to make changes to elections that would make it harder to vote under the guise of, you know, simplicity. And you're hearing that from all types. And Kristen, you noticed that from a Green Bay Packer of all places. And no, for once, we're not talking about Aaron Rodgers and right. spewing political such.
Although Aaron Rodgers did get kicked off the Pat McAfee show.
Yes, we talked about that. Couldn't happen to a nicer guy. Right after we talked about it on yesterday's show, the news came down. So,
like, come on. But then David Bakhtiari yesterday tweeted about elections in Argentina and why we couldn't do it that way. And I thought that was very interesting, because he says things sometimes that are like a little edgy, but that was really wading kind of deep into political talk for David Bakhtiari.
But it also, as often happens, it when you're spouting off on something and you're trying to compare an apple to an orange, you know, one of the responses noted that, you know, Argentina has a population of 45 million. The U.S. has a population of 360 million. Argentina has a very centralized election system. The U.S. is as decentralized as it gets. There is no one election system. Every state runs its own. And in Wisconsin, 1,800 different clerks administer the election. So it's not like you can snap your fingers and make things happen. The only thing you can do in terms of snapping your fingers and making things happen is making it harder to vote. Mm-hmm. Which is what a lot of this is geared toward. You know, there's people that go, well, why can't we all just vote one time on election day and we wouldn't have to have all this other stuff? Well, good on you that you have the privilege that your job doesn't get in the way, or that bad weather doesn't get in the way, or family concerns don't get in the way. Because, again, voting, we always hear this, you know, voting is a responsibility. No, first and foremost, voting is a right. And mm-hmm. it's about not putting up barriers just because you can't win elections based on your ideas.
Right. So. I appreciate that he put it out there, though, because he did it in kind of a questioning way. Like, yeah. Why can't we do this? And I know it's a conservative talking point, and he clearly isn't a learned scholar on this issue, but it invites a conversation. And that's what we need, is more conversations. Like, if people have questions about why are drop boxes good or bad, let's talk about the value of drop boxes and who uses them and who doesn't use them, and are they secure, and are they, you know, we need to have more of these conversations where we are questioning each other instead of just retreating to our corners and being fed these talking points.
And you know where we're seeing this in real time is within the Wisconsin Republican legislative caucuses, where they are at odds over proposals that, again, would give voters a little bit more choice, would also make sure that somebody who wins elections has a level of majority support, rather than getting somebody elected who gets, you know, 26% of the vote, you know, because there are all these multiple candidates. And so there are these proposals that would bring along, you know, what's called ranked choice voting or instant runoff voting, where you rank the candidates in order of preference. And then if the person that you listed first on your ballot happens to come in last in the balloting, they throw out that candidate's removed. Your second choice is then counted, so that eventually you've got it down to a candidate who gets a majority of support. Maybe not necessarily with your first choice, but at least it was your second or your third, you know, and you don't have to rank them all. If there's somebody you don't like, then you don't list them at all. Again, I'm not saying it's perfect, but you really heard, again, some Republicans saying the quiet part out loud about, you know, why would we allow this? Because in so many words, they would no longer have the minority rule that they have in Wisconsin.
It's really true. I like this idea because it takes away that primary effect that we have when you have the most conservative or the most liberal, the most extreme person in the primary winning because they are saying the most, you know, motivating thing. This is, I think, for a state like Wisconsin, where a lot of us vote for candidates based on who they are, not what party they belong to, I think for us, this would really change the outcome of our elections. And rarely do I agree with Ron Tussler, Republican from the Appleton area, but this is one area where I think we can find agreement. This is a very interesting an interesting process that I think we ought to consider.
And it does cross party lines. Not every Democrat favors this as well. And so it is getting, it's getting a healthy discussion, you know, to put it mildly. And by the way, when I mentioned the final five voting, that's what would come first, is that you'd have a primary, and regardless of party, as many candidates as want to run can run. But then in that primary election, it's the final five that move, the top five, I should say, that move on to the general election, where you would use this instant runoff voting or ranked choice voting. And so, again, you could have multiple candidates saying they want to run and not have to jump through the hoops of a party endorsement or anything like that. You go out and campaign, and if you're one of the top five, then you advance. Mm-hmm. And again, that's sure better than, you know, you just get these two votes, or these two choices in mm-hmm. November. Now you get five.
And that's one of the things that frustrates people the most. When you hear people saying, what we need in this country is a third party. Well, maybe what we need is a level ground for all the parties. When I talk to my friends who are libertarians, they never feel like they have a shot. But in a situation like this, they would have a shot. The winner would be the person who campaigns the most, who has the most appealing message. Party almost is taken out of the equation.
Yeah. I mean, look, it wouldn't kill the two-party system necessarily, but it would, again, kind of break that stranglehold. Mm-hmm. And you would find people more likely to come up with coalitions, for example, among those five might be somebody that you would consider in other countries to be the Green Party candidate, for example. Others would take a decidedly, you know, pro-business approach, and maybe that works in their particular district. So again, it's a great idea for anybody to be in contact with their state legislator, their state assembly rep, their state senator. Let them know what you think. Let you know if you could also just try it out. Nothing's permanent. Like Alaska's mm-hmm. using it right now, and that doesn't mean they're going to keep it that way. You know, there's again many right ways to run an election, many wrong ways that reduce the voters' opportunity to cast their ballot. And with democracy as fragile as it is, we should be embracing anything that increases participation.
You bet. 100%.
If you want a little bit more in-depth dive, our friends over at Wisconsin Watch wrote up a piece about this in the legislature right now, and you can find that over at the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Yes, you just only have to scroll down a couple, one or two stories in the news section, and you'll see that headline, Wisconsin GOP at odds over final five and ranked choice voting. Again, that's through Jack Kelly at Wisconsin Watch, so go find it over on the Civic Media website. All right. Now, again, we'll come back with Kristen, and also Emily Cephos, assembly candidate, is going to join us on our Women Win Wisconsin segment that we're starting on Thursdays here for you. Hey, remember, you can sign up for our newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. Click newsletter in the top banner, and we'll keep you updated day by day on what's happening around Wisconsin. Back in a bit. Going to get to our Women Win Wisconsin segment with candidate Emily Cephos in just a minute. Just a reminder as well that if you can't catch us live on the radio, catch us as a podcast. Go over to civicmedia.us and learn more. Or head to Apple, Spotify, all the usual places, and look for Up North News Radio. Kristen, we talked about in the last segment the way that these Thursdays now, these visits with you, are going to highlight some of the women who are leaders in their community, and we've had that kind of a visit with Emily Cephos before from the Outagamie County area, but she's taking on some new duties as well since our last conversation.
Yeah, the last time we talked with Emily, it was part of our hometown health segment where we focused on some of the upstream things that affect our health. Now we're focusing on a different upstream thing that affects our health, which is political office. Who is in leadership? Who is making these decisions for us? And we think it needs to be more women. So to kick off our inaugural segment of Women Win Wisconsin, we asked Emily Cephos to join us. Emily is running for Assembly District 56 in the Appleton-Fox Valley area. And man, I couldn't be more excited to be hanging out with you this morning, Emily. Welcome.
I'm so excited to be back. Thanks for having me. It's a great way to spend a Thursday.
Yeah. Look, one of the things that you caught on fairly quickly in this candidate business is the social media aspect. And I had to laugh in a complimentary way about your commitment to the game, your commitment to a bit. How the other day you had a different plan for your social media, and yet there you are rolling video, getting pelted with big fat snowflakes.
Snow day. Yeah, I never know. Day,
but, you know, getting your daily message out to the people that you would like to be your constituents, I think people appreciate that little slice of real life that you bring.
Yeah, I think too often it's like a canned, very unattainable and, it's just not able to connect with people. So that was my day. And I just wanted to make sure that people understand that, like, we're doing all of this kind of stuff, like, while raising a family or working a job, all that. So,
And that's one of the things that makes you such a compelling candidate, because you are not someone who sits in an ivory tower. You are someone who is out there taking care of your family, doing the work in your community. What was it that made you decide to take it to that next level and to actually run for elected office?
I think in a large part, it was having children, you know, bringing them into the world and feeling some sort of responsibility to leave it a little better than it was when they entered it. And like, once you, I've said this before, but once you get into the political realm, whether it's federally or, you know, locally, and you realize and you talk to community members that are adversely affected by things that are being passed or just sentiment from the political sphere, you can't turn it off. And so I, you know, I'm able to run a campaign. I'm passionate about it. And I thought, why not me? This is not something that there's some sort of bar you have to reach as far as your age or your experience or anything like that. Like, if you have your best interests of your community at heart, and you speak with the people that are affected by what's going on, and you have, you know, like, you're holding that as part of your platform, like, there needs to be more of us that are stepping into that space. So I thought, it's time.
It is time. It was time. And it was early. A lot of people haven't stepped up quite yet because they're waiting to see what's going to happen with the maps. You know, that's all we're going to learn more tomorrow and in the next couple of weeks. But you were so eager. You knew what you wanted to do that you threw your hat into the ring early.
I did. And I think I live outside of Appleton, like north of town. And so regardless of how maps shake out, I'm anticipating that I'll, you know, be in an area that is not represented by folks that are really holding paramount the priority that it is for, you know, to move us all forward. So regardless of where it ends up, like, there needs to be more voices, in my opinion, like mine, in the legislature. And I, you know, like, we're fighting an uphill battle in a lot of senses, because a lot of these folks have been in for, you know, gerrymandered in for a decade or more. So I thought hitting the ground running, getting my name out there and beginning to connect with those community members, it can't hurt.
Well, you're right. And we've had a real problem up here in northeastern Wisconsin. We've got 23 seats on the ballot in the fall, the congressional seat and the state legislative seats. Only two of those seats are held by Democrats, two of 23. Mm-hmm. And in the last election cycle, a third of those seats went unchallenged. And I think a lot of the reason why is because people felt like, why would I put my name out there when I know that I can't win because the maps are unwinnable? Mm-hmm. But it's a totally new game this time around. And you embraced that early.
Yeah, I think that I stepped in regardless, like, knowing that in the current makeup of the 56th, I am points behind anyone just because I have a D behind my name. But we're trying to do politics as unusual is what I'm calling it. And really connecting again with people that are coming from both sides, because there are so many shared values that we don't take the time to have conversations about. So I'm hopeful that people will find that compelling and that we are able to come to a consensus that will move us all forward. And then there's like the top of the ticket too. Like, this is all so important. There's so much on the line federally. And so to have really good candidates stepping into spaces to leave, you know, like, to challenge people and make them have to campaign to win, that's all going to be important too, not only for the legislative level, but also if we're looking at Senator Baldwin and President Biden too. So
as you bring that message out, what would you say are three of the top issues that you plan to focus on, even as you hear the concerns of your potential constituents?
Speaking from my personal experience and then what I've heard from other folks, the first is, and I'm going to apologize because I feel like I'm becoming a better politician, in that I'm saying investing in our future is just one area. Like, there's so many things that are connected to that. And that means funding public education. It means protecting our kids while they're at school from gun violence. And really thinking of our future in that. And it also involves the climate, right? Also, democracy is on the line in a federal sense with what happened in 2020 and what we're looking at in 2024. But also here in Wisconsin, like you said, Dr. Lyerly, we're looking at new maps, and that what has occurred here for the last 10 years is that one voice does not really equal one vote. And we've got to change that. So it's about like combating misinformation, reassuring the public that our elections are free and fair as they've always been, and that our local clerks and volunteers are doing an incredible job. And also, I'm speaking like as a rare disease mom, like affordable and accessible healthcare, which includes reproductive healthcare, needs to be available for every Wisconsinite.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. As you know, the abortion issue is a huge issue in Wisconsin and across the country, but that's just really the tip of the iceberg for many people. Healthcare is not working for most of us. And, you know, you just identified yourself as, and I'm going to get this, I hopefully get this term right, the mom of a child with a rare disease.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is what we talked about during our hometown health segment. We need more affordable, more accessible healthcare as consumers of healthcare, but as providers of healthcare, from my perspective, we need our healthcare system to support us as well and to make sure that we are able to help our patients make the decisions that they need to make within the context of their own lives. And that's one of the things that you're fighting for as well.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
There's also, as we talked to Governor Tony Evers earlier in the week here, looking back at 23 and looking ahead to 24, we didn't talk about a big range of issues. I just wanted to hear what was most important to him. And, you know, he offered up voluntarily the issue of affordable childcare. And, you know, he didn't say in so many words, but we have said repeatedly how Republicans in the legislature have not only done nothing, they've done less than nothing. Their bills would make the situation worse. And lest they think that this is some kind of, you know, formula for political commercials concocted by progressives, I would urge them probably to knock on the same door as you're knocking on, where you hear these very real childcare concerns from your neighbors in the Fox Valley.
Yep. I think I went to the committee hearing when they were debating childcare accounts initially in the fall and listened to childcare providers, and just the lack of understanding of the reverberations that, you know, like the crisis that we're facing will have on our working parents, our economy. Like there's so many different facets. Like childcare is infrastructure, and we need to invest in it so that we can continue to build the workforce, that we can entice parents to go back to work. Because if we don't have affordable and accessible childcare, what then we're facing, you know, like the worker shortage is real, and we are putting people in a position, especially women, to not return after having kids. You have to be able to hold both of those things in your hand at the same time. And it's when we're being led again, that's women running. We have an acute and real understanding of what it means to have, you know, like the opportunity to both have a family and a professional career. And I'm dedicating to bringing that to the forefront too.
When you're knocking on doors in the Fox Valley and you're talking with your future constituents, what are you hearing from them? What are the issues that they want you to know about?
I think childcare, definitely. I've got a lot of friends that are, you know, just huge defenders of our public schools. They're really concerned about that too. Our aging population is worried about infrastructure and just like investing in our communities outside of our city centers. And so we are really looking, you know, I'm looking to talk with more stakeholders that have been around for a long time and have that wisdom and that experience of like living out in Grand Chute, living in Greenville looks a lot different than it did 20 years ago. And so how do we support small businesses that have been there? How do we make sure that everyone is brought forward so that no one's feeling left behind?
And speaking of our aging population, you had a birthday.
Hey,
yesterday.
I resent that.
No, I'm talking about Emily. She just had a birthday.
Okay. No one's directing that at you.
Jeez, Pat, you're a little sensitive right now.
A little bit. Hey. Enough out of you. Yes. Happy belated birthday.
Thank you. Yeah. 37 is going to be a good year. I'm excited.
It's going to be a great year. And you're having a party to celebrate.
I am. I'm having a potluck. I'm trying not to be fundraiser centric all the time, although it does take money to win elections. But I am having a potluck tomorrow, and it's just a community event. I'm hoping it's the first of many, where we can come together and just talk as neighbors and friends, to really, you know, connect with one another and have those conversations so I can find out what the people in this area are feeling and how I can be helpful.
It is. I shudder at the thought now of what they're telling you it will cost to run a legislative campaign. Because again, yeah. Now, when I first ran back in 2006 for state senate, and you may now laugh at the number because it's been that long ago. But when we heard back then, you know, to raise $200,000 to run a state senate campaign. Again, that's not today's dollars, but you hear that back then, you go, I don't know about that, but you know, we did it, and plenty mm-hmm. of other people have. It can be done, but these numbers are daunting, and that's where every donation, you know, from $5 to $500 is, you know, you appreciate. You write those thank you notes for a reason.
Exactly. Yeah. Shameless self plug, y'all. That in order to win, we need the cash flow. So feel free to head to my website. It's emily4wi.com. I'd love any amount you're able to spare. That would be incredible.
Mm-hmm. Dollars are really important, but engagement is important too. And for those folks out there who don't have the dollars to be able to pitch in, but they believe in you, they mm-hmm. want to help out. What can they do to help you get elected?
Yeah, that's a great question. I like one of my friends that ran for state senate last time, Chris Elfheim, always says, like, give us your time, your talent, or your treasure. And treasure would be the financial part of it. But time, like, if you are able and willing in the area to be a part of knocking doors for us, I'm hitting them. I'm starting in 2 weeks. So that's the plan. So I will be out there. I would love to have you join me. And if you can share things on social media, really it's about getting my name out there. Again, like, regardless of where I end up, I'm against people that are very entrenched and are very well known. And so as the challenger, I need your help to get the word out. So, you know, I'm on social media so that things can be shared, and I'm sending out emails so they can be shared as well. So anything you can do to mention my name, that would be incredible. I would love it.
And that's how you're going to learn more about the name of Emily Sefos, Assembly candidate for District 56. Not only is she knocking on doors in that area, but also through social media. So take a look at what the videos that she's putting there. Emily, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Good luck.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate you guys. This is incredible.
We will visit again soon. And when we come back, we'll talk about what else you can catch on the Civic Media Radio Network over this upcoming weekend. Back after this.
I love the bass in this piece.
It's a great bass.
It's so sticky.
The dance from Luke, not so much, but it's a great bass line. Unlimited. Tony Kaye, the keyboard player and founding member of Supergroup Yes, turns 78 years old today. Aw, cripes. It's time to talk to Luke Mathers, our favorite ice road trucker, about what you can catch this weekend on Civic Media. That might include the Cripes cast.
It definitely includes the Cripes cast.
All right.
It absolutely, every Saturday and Sunday at noon, includes the Cripes cast, Charlie Burns podcast, where he talks to people from and for the Midwest. And so, yeah, you can tune into the Cripes cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across the Civic Media Radio Network. You can also find it wherever you find your podcasts. But we got a number of things cooking this weekend, Pat, as we talked about earlier. Max Inc. going to have an excellent Milwaukee local band live in the Lair this Saturday night at 9 p.m. They are going to be joined by Blame It on Kane. So you can listen across the Civic Media app to Max Inc. that airs 6 p.m. to midnight live on Saturdays, and then a replay of it, a little bit of a rerun back on Sunday nights. But also on Sunday, across several Civic Media stations, Pat, we've got the Green and Golds getting a little extended season with a playoff berth going to the Dallas Cowboys for a wild
playoffs.
Game. Playoffs.
We're talking about playoffs?
We are talking about playoffs. And Jordan Love's first season as the starter for the Green and Golds. Playoffs.
One of the youngest teams
team ever to make the playoffs.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah, we're pretty excited up here in Green Bay. So you know, like the way Green Bay people are excited, like we're wearing our clothes, we're drinking from our mugs, we're talking.
We're wearing our clothes. It's,
all we have is Packer clothes up here, let's be honest.
During playoff time, I guess, apparently. Yep.
After that, it's a Lady Godiva situation. Yes.
But you can listen to the Packers in Richland Center, in Racine and Kenosha, and in Park Falls on your local civic media station in those markets.
That's right. And then there's also the newest weeknight show, Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. That's an 8 to 10 joint, I believe. Yes, sir?
Yes, that is correct. Pete Schwabba broadcasting live from the WGBW studios up in Green Bay across the state of Wisconsin. You can tune in for all your entertainment and pop culture news. Dr. Lyerly's got the mug to go along with for the promo.
Okay.
I was on Pete's show last week.
Nice.
Yeah, actually earlier this week. It was a blast. It's just really laid back. We talk about entertainment things. It's easy.
There's a form of bingo, not where you get five in a row, but where you fill up the entire bingo card. And now hearing that you've also been on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, can we put every civic media property on a bingo card? Because I think she's pretty close to covering every square.
She's already got one, honestly. Like, she's just she's cruising through. She has to have a list somewhere and just checking them off. I would assume it's a bingo card.
Yeah. Cripescast is pretty much the only thing I haven't been on yet.
Get on it, Barons. Let's go. Yeah.
We'll have to send an email to their producers team and see what we can do about getting you booked there.
And Jim Santel's show, because you could have a doctor and a lawyer. That could be fun. Or Maggie.
There you go.
Maggie Don. Yeah. That could be fun. Doctor and a lawyer.
What are you now, just officially calling out people who haven't put you on the air yet? I mean, we're kind of like your free space on the bingo.
I just show up, talking about whatever time, happens to be.
Come on.
Yeah. There you go. We also, for you early risers, the Midwest Farm Report is now a fixture on the civic media stations in Amory, Hayward, Oshkosh, and Richland Center.
Yes, and so you can wake up, get all of your news. It's not just for farmers and individuals working in agriculture. It's for everybody, so you want to know what's going on in Wisconsin, you should tune into the Farm Report at 5 a.m. every weekday on those select civic media stations. And got a brand new show as well with Matt and Air on Air.
Yeah.
10 a.m. until noon with Jane Matinair and Greg Bach across the Civic Media Network. So lots of things cooking here. Like I told you, 2024, Pat, it's going to be an exciting year. You can't miss out on anything that we're doing here at Civic Media. So you can tune in at 10 for Jane.
And so, 11 for public service announcement with me.
Today is Thursday.
Right. Sheesh. So much stuff. You know what? I'm going to promote the nap that I'm going to take after this. You guys just gonna,
I will also be on Matt and Air on air today, filling in for Greg in his absence. So
that's right.
It'll be a great time.
Oh, we're going to talk about some spicy things, Luke. Are you ready?
I will try to get ready between now and then.
Now I feel obligated to be one of the callers now, just to come in and keep the whole gang together. Yeah,
as we can talk about your prostate. We can talk about whatever you want. Little blue pills.
About the weather. We could talk about whether Christmas decorations have come down.
No, public cervix announcement is about health things you otherwise don't hear talked about. And it's an opportunity for callers to call in anonymously if they like and ask a question that maybe has been lingering in the back of their mind. And we talk about it in medical terms. But also it's kind of funny. We make it funny.
Somehow you just have a way. So back to my question to Mr. Mathers about the Christmas decorations. Let it go, Doc. Come on.
Sorry.
Seriously, let it go.
Luke,
holiday decorations, quickly.
They're coming. Already down, except the Christmas lights. So the Christmas lights on the outside of the house, they stay up until, you know, there's not snow up there that I would have to venture through to be able to remove those. But we've decided that with week 18 of the NFL is a new aspect. It's second season that we're doing that. Scott Hansen says goodbye on Red Zone, which is a family favorite of our household on Sundays. So we watch Red Zone with Scott Hansen on the NFL Network. And so we can watch all the touchdowns for the NFL. And when he says goodbye for the season, because he doesn't do the playoffs, we say goodbye to the Christmas decorations. So they are all gone. The tree was taken out, put onto the curb. So when we put away Scott Hansen for the year, we also put away Christmas decorations for the year.
Please save this clip and email it directly to the NFL Network after this. I just know Scott Hansen will be so Flattered, touched, disturbed. He'll be so disturbed that this is what somebody does.
Have you taken all of yours down?
What's that?
Have you taken all of yours down? Do you have a set time and schedule?
I was going to say, we're now at the point where we just don't put them up like we used to. I look at that, 18-foot, extension ladder and go, yeah, that was fun to do in my 30s. Not so much now. So, we end up going now that our daughters are grown and gone, instead of them coming to Chippewa Falls in the middle of winter, we all go someplace else like we just did.
I have green spotlights outside of my house, so I just took down every other one and put a yellow spotlight in. So I'm all ready for the playoffs.
You are so ready. All right. You guys have a great day. Thank you so much for coming along for the ride today.
Absolutely.
Luke, pinch hitting for Greg. Kristen, we'll hear from you a little bit later.
Always a blast.
On air. All right.
Yeah, baby.
Thanks to all of you for joining us as well. Tomorrow, Dan Schumacher, Mark Jacob, Brittany's Forecast, and more on Up North News Radio across the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a great Thursday.